with you again on this new message about unforgiveness and forgiveness. And we're believing that you're going to step into freedom and that your goal should be that you want to be free from all of these things that torment us as Christians and as people. So before we get into this part two, let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you've given us the golden keys to freedom. One of those golden keys is forgiveness. Father God, I thank you that we're laying down the spirit of competition and resentment and hate and murder and those things that the devil wants to stuff into our heart. Lord God, we're putting those things down so we can forgive. And we thank you, Father God, that you've given us this wonderful privilege to get set free, to see you balance the books between our heart and your heart. In Jesus' precious name, we bless this teaching. Amen.
Amen. We were talking about this as we were studying for getting ready for lesson number two, Darren. And in the first hour, we talked about unforgiveness and that it is a total dead end street, and also talked about forgiveness. But in the process, we found out the definitions for the words grudge and for the words resentment. And so many times we don't realize that these are sins. Sometimes we have families who, well, I have this grudge against the farmer next door. And you've said things, you were saying things to me like, well, I'll be dead before I give in to that person. And those are such horrible phrases to use, and they're sins.
Well, let me give you some more of these one-liners.
You got some more one-liners, okay.
You know, we're so willing, it seems, to destroy relationships over money and over things and possessions and over having our way and making sure that our rights haven't been violated. Or one of the things I was thinking about is that we feel like somebody has disrespected us and they haven't given us the respect or the value that we think that we ought to have. And I've heard people say this, and I've heard this a lot in my lifetime. I'm going to take him down a notch or two, you know, or I'll go to my grave before I let him win.
Wow, I've heard that one.
Right, and over my dead body.
Oh yeah, that's really.
That's one. I'll have the last word, even if it kills me, you know. And the vocal ones speak out. And then I heard a gal say one time. In fact, she worked for me. Until I found out who she really was, and I fired her. I mean, she was only with me about 10 days, 2 weeks. But here's one thing that she said in resentment. I was always the bridesmaid, but never the bride. And as far as I know, she's still single today, but she's just rolling bitterness. She's like a Mack truck coming down the road full of bitterness.
Yes.
But people get into spite, and they get into revenge, and they want to vex the other person. And that really is a serious unforgiveness.
It is. And we were talking about people in the Old Testament that held unforgiveness in their hearts. And we don't have to go very far into Genesis, Darren, before we hit chapter 4. And we get into the chapter of the children of Adam and Eve. This is the first couple created by God.
Very first family.
And God wanted there to be peace and agreement and wonderful, wonderful atmosphere around this first family. And guess what? It was just hell to pay. And here we see Cain growing up. He's the eldest, and Abel the younger brother. And Cain took an offering from the field, probably very flippantly, and took it to the Lord. And Abel selected his favorite little lamb and sacrificed it to God. And of course, God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain's. Immediately, jealousy rises up in Cain. His countenance falls. That means he was depressed. He was very angry because God had no regard for his offering. But he didn't give any place to God. He didn't give any time in what he was doing. And so many people do things flippantly in an instant. They don't spend time preparing, and then they expect God to bless them. Well, here Cain got very upset, depressed, angry, and unforgiveness began building up in his heart. And what you were saying last night in chapter 4 of Genesis, Darren, in verse 7, the Lord was saying to him, Cain, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. God says, you've got it within yourself. I can help you. We can master this thing. But Cain wouldn't have it. This unforgiveness overcame him. He went into the field where his brother Abel was, and he killed him.
You know, I believe with God's help, we can master these things that torment our lives,
yes,
destroy relationships, wreck friendships. Sometimes they're long-standing friendships. But we let the door open. We leave the door open. and something sneaks in there and destroys that friendship. And that's really tragic because it destroys the opportunity for agreement.
Yes.
And I see that in marriages so often, where I see people that are not getting along. They're living as married singles, as an example. And I know this isn't necessarily a teaching on marriage, but it relates to marriage, where a husband has hardened his heart towards his spouse, or vice versa, and the devil loves it. Well, let's just keep him on hold here, and that seething resentment, that spite. And I've seen people be very spiteful. A wife who say, "Well, I just want to see him suffer," and I've seen it vice the other way, where the husband just wanted to give the wife a bad time, and that unforgiveness that's floating in there keeps that any possibility of prayer agreement from occurring, and the devil loves it.
Yes. Well, going back to Cain here.
Right. Good.
We see that Cain had no remorse.
That's right.
For murdering his brother. In fact, who was he thinking about when God gave him this sentence of this curse that he would be marked for life, and he put a sign on him that he would be turbulent, he would be wandering, he would be restless for the rest of his life. He would be a wanderer over the earth. Who did Cain think about? He said, "Behold, thou hast driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from thy face I shall be hidden. I shall be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and it will come about that whoever finds me will kill me." Who was he thinking about? He was thinking of himself. Whoever finds me will kill me. He didn't think at all about what he had done to his brother. And Darren, we see that in this world today. People kill and murder, and they justify all of this. "Well, I had a right. He did this to me, or he did that to me." Just this morning on our way to the studio, we saw this car who was driving too close behind this other car. And that happens so frequently in Denver. His bumper on the back bumper of the guy in front. The guy stopped his car in the middle of the lane, got out and walked around and told him to stay off his bumper, but he wouldn't. So the guy just stopped at the next stoplight, and we went on, and he was still at a dead stop. Oh, I don't,
well,
know.
I'm telling you,
don't
want to
know what's happened.
You know, somebody might have drawn their sidearm and gone after it, you know. But you know what I see is some people harden their hearts so much that they don't even have any pangs of conscience when they do wrong. And I think that was the case here in the story with Cain and Abel.
Yes.
So hardened toward the brother that I can kill him with no conscience. Mm-hmm. I mean, forget it. If you think I feel bad, forget you, because I don't feel bad.
Yes, the next instance of unforgiveness that we were discussing was Ishmael. Now, he was the eldest son of Abraham, but he was not the son of promise. He was conceived with a maid of Sarah's. And he and his mother were very much had mocking spirits towards Sarah and towards Isaac. And what happened was that Sarah sent them away. Abraham said, "Sarah, you do whatever you feel is best." And Sarah sent these two away because there was going to be turbulence and chaos and strife in this family as long as Ishmael and his mom were there. So Ishmael's another example of a son who grew up knowing that there was going to be a better promise. And so there was unforgiveness in his heart.
Well, since you talked a little bit here about Ishmael, I will say this, that before he was born, Sarai sent Hagar on her way. And then an angel spoke to her. She came back and humbled herself, at least temporarily. And then when her son, Ishmael, was 13 years old, he was mocking, actually, the one they referred to as the firstborn.
Yes, and I believe he had a little unforgiveness in his heart because he was thinking, you know, they're trying to uproot me from my position here in the family, but I'm firstborn here. He thought he had rights, but he found out he didn't. And from them came the Arabs, and we see the strife even today, Darren.
But I think it's interesting. The point I wanted to make is Sarai sent her out the first time. The next time, Abraham said, "Okay, you're out of here." And that was really a permanent thing.
Yes. Okay, the next one is Esau. Esau was the twin brother of Jacob. Their father was Isaac, who was the son, the firstborn son of promise to Abraham. So Esau gave up his birthright, Darren, and immediately he realized what had happened because Jacob gladly took this birthright, which gave him the inheritance, especially the spiritual inheritance on earth. And what happened here, Esau was so angry that he was filled with rage, And Rebecca, Jacob's mom, said, "Jacob, I want you to go stay with your uncle Laban a few days until your brother's anger subsides."